Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Hello, Sophia.
Hello, nice to see you.
So we wanted to take a lot of time today to talk about what we call green software or green code. We say a lot of names around that, and we have more and more, I would say, discussion on this topic. So we have a few minutes in front of us, and probably we should start with some introduction. Do you want to start?
Sure, yeah, happy to. So I'm Sophia Davis. I'm a technology architect at BCG and global product manager of our technology capability offering for climate and sustainability, where I basically work with clients across sectors on their digital and data readiness for sustainability transformation. And how about yourself, Niels?
So I am Niels Freyer. I am based in Paris, and I am working with BCG2 since a little bit more than 5 years. I have a strong background in computer science in general, but with a focus with data/data science, no more than a few years. And I collaborate with people like you and our data scientists and our clients to be able to put at scale AI solutions. So I'm very far from the simple notebook, but when we need to integrate with other systems, with ERP, etc., to give life to this type of use case, to be able to really get the value from AI. We mentioned BCG, but can you spend maybe 1 or 2 minutes on that? Because I'm not sure everyone is aware of what is BCG and specifically what are we doing?
For sure. So BCG is actually turning 60 years old this year. So it is one of the most prestigious pioneers in business strategy. It's a global consulting firm with about 25,000, I would say, deep industry and functional experts working with the world's largest companies on their business and sustainability transformations. It's also now home to 5,000 technologists and technology experts that lead on digital and product-led transformation for our clients, which is very much where you and I live, who also design, build, and implement products, services, and even digital ventures, right? But I think coming to the topic of green software in a larger context, last year we launched our global climate and sustainability business. We've delivered around more than 1,000 sustainability projects, even launched 30 climate businesses as part of our digital ventures arm. On the corporate side of BCG, we've been the consultancy partner for COP27, the UN high-level champion for climate action, as well as chief advisor to the CEO Alliance of Climate Leaders at the World Economic Forum. On the other side, on the sort of climate tech and innovation, we've been founding members of Breakthrough Energy Catalyst and also the First Movers Coalition. And we were excited to recently partner with Qantas, which I know you're very close to, Niels, which are a pioneering sustainability consultancy that look largely at carbon, but also more planetary boundaries around biodiversity as well. And we're also partnering with SAP on global sustainability transformation projects, where we've launched solutions, which we can talk a bit more about potentially, but CO2 AI with their product footprint management module, and also Circelligence, which looks specifically at circular supply chain. But I think what's really interesting, and we're going to talk a lot about this today, is that, you know, we're proud of our own commitments in BCG, as well as we become, we've got targets to reach net zero by 2030. We're EcoVadis Gold, we're certified carbon neutral, and we're on the CDP list of climate disclosure rating gold. And we're doing a lot internally now around our engineering community for green software, which maybe you can speak a little bit more to, Niels, on where we stand there.
Yeah, more than happy. So on top of all what you mentioned related to the BCG activities, exactly what you said, we are a big chunk of engineers, no part of BCG. And of course, we want to be able to act working with business stakeholders, but working with engineers, because of course, we like to be able to improve the situation with our job. And in this direction, so more than, let's say a little bit more than 1 year ago now, BCG joined the Green Software Foundation. So in a nutshell, this foundation was created originally by various actors, including Microsoft, Accenture, Shroudwork, and BCG, and few others. And the goal of that was really to put everyone in the same group, I would say, to discuss, put it on the side a little bit, the business potentially competitor mindset, but to establish standard, way of working, potentially tools, and we will go back to that a little bit later on, but really to be able to work, to collaborate, to be able to first understand what do we mean by green software, green code. We will decrypt a little bit that. And of course, it's fine to understand what are we talking about, but it's better to be able to act on it. So we really wanted by the foundation on BCG, by joining the foundation, to be able to push that in the mindset of our engineers, because again, it's a request we have internally and externally, and potentially by our action, our discussion on this type of topics as of today, to be able to raise awareness for other people, potentially the top level of the companies, to be first interested by that. Then after that, to act on it. So I will elaborate later on, but really the key is to be able to take green in general at the same level as other KPIs. For example, a project needs, of course, to generate value for the company. But in one way, is that so much better if we can generate value for the company and improve again a little bit the situation we are all on right now on our planet. So what do we mean by green software? Basically, if I take the simple but I think totally working explanation from the Green Software Foundation, we can define, I would say, the role of the foundation on what is green software in a few principles. The first one is, of course, accepting software by itself need to run on some hardware. So every time you need to write code, to write a program or a full system, you need to take in consideration on which type of hardware / system / distributed system, your system will need to operate. And of course, 20 years ago, the options were fairly limited. But now we have so many different options, of course, mentioning on-premise, cloud. But after that, it's again a new landscape of possibilities. Each cloud provider provides so many ways to implement the same stuff in so many different ways. So you need to take that in account. And again, we will go back to a few clear examples of that. The second one is, of course, when you pick the right hardware, is to be able to, if possible, take in account the energy you will consume. So as engineers, our computer science, we know every time we run a program, we execute instruction one after each another one on the CPU. So not taking, I would say, in account each instruction power consumption, that will probably too much. But it's fairly easy to isolate a pattern. Every time you run some data processing, some piece of code, etc., exactly as we are more than familiar to monitor how many times are we taking, what is the amount of memory usage, and basically what is the amount of CPU usage. From all this information, it's again fairly easy to extrapolate the energy consumption. I am using the extrapolate keyword. That's very, very important. When we talk about green carbon, or more generally, carbon accounting, we want to measure the carbon by any action. It can be an industry action, like creating a car, or running a piece of software. All that, it's extrapolation of extrapolation. So we need to accept, and it's not always easy as engineers between you and me, to accept it's only extrapolation. We cannot be super precise. And whatever, it's totally fine. What we want as engineers is to be able to have baseline. If you know your program is running as of today on this type of hardware, and you are able to say, per request from my users or per batch of processing, I am able to know what is approximately the usage or the carbon consumption of my piece of software. After that, you have your baseline. It's super easy to measure, okay, if I am adding 10 times the number of users, it's probably worse, but what is the type of increase? And after, again, you can play different scenarios. What if I am moving on edge or on cloud or in-premise, etc.? So bear with me. As engineers, we like to be precise. With carbon accounting, it's impossible. It's fine. So that's the second principle, to be able to measure. Because if you are not able to measure, no way to do anything. On that, again, I will go back very quickly. But of course, the foundation, we establish a standard. I will not go into the mathematical explanation first because it's super easy. Secondly, because it's, again, the goal was to be easy for anyone to be able to implement that. So I can only invite you to go to the Green Software Foundation website, to read the different white paper we publish. You will see easy to integrate, easy to compute your baseline, easy to communicate with other people. And that's really the goal. On the last principle of the foundation, what we are pushing as BCG and with all the others, is of course, I would say, to be able to step back with what are we doing with software in general. As we are taking, as I was mentioning, various KPI like the costs, the time, potentially the cybersecurity, is my system is secure? It's an obvious question we need to ask ourselves, or at least we should, all the time, of course. We need to take green in accounts. And more, our own clients at BCG are asking this type of question. I will go back to an example, but basically, we need to really take that in account to take business decisions. And that's a key changer related to a few years ago. Well, let's be honest, nobody was really interested by this question. Now, engineers and business stakeholders have that near the top of their mind, and they need to be able to decide, and we need to work with everyone involved in the software community, including the designer, and why I'm mentioning them, because we need to change the way we are working with software. Very simple example, since a few years, everyone is talking about dark mode.
Yeah.
We can always challenge a little bit that. Still, we know potentially we have effect with that. Every time we are using piece of software, we need to take that in account. Very recently, Microsoft announced the fact the Xbox was automatically shut down during the night. It's so simple. But if you take all the Xbox around the world doing that every night, you are saving a lot of energy. Well, let's be honest, if I still want to play at 2 a.m., I can just start it and play. So it's not a blocker for me as a user. Simple decision, big results. That's exactly what we want to do with the foundation. But okay, it was a little bit technique. Now, if we again step back on, if we move a little bit to the business side, I was mentioning our clients are more and more interested by this type of question. Can you tell us a little bit more, Sophia?
Yeah, so I think the setup there was excellent to sort of talk about how I think the ecosystem's coming together, right? The engineering community and BCG in itself being part of that more on the corporate side. And I think this is going to be really critical in the years to come because we're a little far away from sort of getting the mandates, I guess, of like a, you were talking about it, right? Having some sort of KPI or like ISO standard for carbon in software. I mean, that might come and hopefully it will, but we're far from realizing that yet. But what is I am optimistic about is that is appetite now in the engineering and also the business community around we need to do something about this. And in the work I've been doing within kind of climate technology more generally, something called eco-digital is becoming a massive approach that we're seeing at our clients, which is basically the use of sustainability use cases powered by, you know, digital twins, IoT, cloud computing, data platforms, blockchain solutions to develop, you know, technologies for sustainability. And this is estimated to be some, you know, US dollar 50 billion market growing like 30% year on year, which is very, very promising because we know technology has a huge role to play in, you know, decarbonizing supply chain, for example. But I think what's becoming very clear is there's now this need to sort of green the foundation to scale that impact, right? Now, you already started mentioning sort of on the hardware side, if we look at data centers, like energy consumption is increasing like 10 to 30% year on year, right? So this is a burning platform that we're facing in this like paradoxical situation where we need technology and AI for climate, but it's costing us on the other side. And I think by 2040, the number is now that it's going to contribute 14% to global emissions data centers. Now, for a lot of our clients that we work with, a lot of organizations, you know, scope one and two has been key, right? So internal operations. But now, as we look at, you know, very digitally mature companies that have obviously migrated to the cloud, for example, a huge part of their scope three is now in what you're talking about, right? So the IT value chain. It could be as much as like 30% of your scope three emissions can be related to your software. Now, if we think about industries that are heavy in information processing, data transactions, I'm thinking financial services, industrial goods, insurance, for example, that's a really urgent scenario. So we're seeing that we need to help companies get off on the green foot, if you like, of doing this right first time and having those tools that I know, Niels, you can give us a bit more information on from the green software side, sort of in the digital workflows, right, to not hinder the transformation trajectories that are already accelerated, for example, post-COVID, in place, basically. But interestingly, I'm thinking back to a study we led last year with SAP, where we surveyed like 300 leading organizations across Europe. And only 7.5% of those were actually doing green software well, from what we measured, which sort of shows you size of the gap. What I think is more interesting is only 30% of those companies had IT-related emissions targets, right, which is this transparency part. And you cannot optimize what you don't measure, right? So we're seeing there's this, you know, data inertia of we cannot capture transparency on these scope three sort of hardware software emissions in order to make these prioritizations and levers that we need to get actual change in the IT org. Now, a lot of this is also because there's been lack of budget allocation to sort of the IT operations in sort of the decarbonization initiatives, which also shows sort of a strategy and ambition gap, which I think is where on the business side, we can really come in and help bridge that. But what is promising actually is a lot of the maturity in tech, telco and media companies is quite high for setting targets and setting budget allocation for that. So that's sort of promising given your emissions are largely sitting within those companies as well. But I think bringing it back to like as engineers, as architects in, you know, general development work, I mean, in BCG, Niels, I'll ask you, like, how are we trying to implement some of this in not only our internal product build, which we obviously do a lot of, but also with clients when we go and do large scale implementation?
Yeah, all that is very clear. What, again, as you mentioned, we have a data gaps, and as I was saying in the introduction, the key is to be able to measure. That's the starting point of any action, of course. If you don't know what's your baseline to reuse the same wording as we are doing in carbon accounting or so many others, you need to be able to measure. And for that, again, we know since a long time, since the beginning of software, I would say in general, we know how to measure stuff. Carbon is just a new KPI, new type of data points. And we have tools, I would say, since a long time. For example, if you work closely to hardware, you are able to measure very precisely the energy used by piece of software or piece of hardware and extrapolate that to software. We still needed to adapt that a little bit and to make it probably easier to access. It's, I would say, always the same challenge when you work with software engineers. Sometimes we are so high level compared to the hardware, you have a decoloration between both. So we wanted to create tools slash against standard. And again, that's what we did with the Green Software Foundation. So they established a very simple formula to be able to compute the carbon energy or carbon consumption of one piece of software. And they included that in one SDK. So it's a fully open source SDK. You can find it on GitHub. We'll provide you the link. It's fairly easy to integrate that with your piece of software, even your distributed system, etc., to be able to ask or to get answer to very simple question. For example, as today, as right now, my software is running in this data center in this part of the world. What is the energy generated for that? Then you can take that in account, potentially to decide to shut down some of the features, etc. Based on, of course, business decision. We don't want to shut down everything, but to take that in account. Other scenarios, you can ask to this API, okay, I have work I need to do, like say data processing. I know in average it's taking 1 hour. And I can operate it as always at the end of the business day, starting at 6 p.m. or 8 p.m., whatever. But the results are expected the next morning, and I don't have any other dependencies. So let's ask to this SDK, what is the best time frame in this part of the world to run this workload? You just ask to the SDK API, that will give you the best time frame will be between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. Fine. We have all the tools to move the workload to this type of windows. So this type of tools, and I would say mindsets to think about it, we are leveraging that more and more as part of what we develop internally of BCG, because we are developing products and various components to be deployed with our clients. And when we work directly with clients on their solution, again, we try to push this type of ID. Most of the time, they are very happy, I would say, to ask themselves this type of question and to take that in account. For that, of course, we work with the Green Software Foundation. Inside BCG, we are working right now on a Docker plugin to be able to, in one line, get this type of metrics out of a Kubernetes cluster. Soon open source, not yet available. And of course, something I want to mention with the Green Software Foundation, we very recently, at the last COP, by the way, we published a training with a way to test yourself, sponsored by the Linux Foundation. So again, we will share the link on that. I can only advise you, now let me rephrase, I can only push you to pass it. It's easy, 2 hours of your time, including the preparation. It's not technical, What I mean by that, you don't need to be very software engineers. You just need to be digital, I would say, mindset to be able to pass it. And you will learn the basic of everything we described today. That means what is carbon accounting, what is green software, or we can combine the two activities to just be able, again, to think about it as we think about the other topics, to take that in account and hopefully to improve a little bit.
Indeed.
So again, do you have like maybe a clear example of what we did? Because now we said, okay, in the business, we can do that. A lot of stuff are moving. On the tech point of view, a lot of stuff are moving. Can we spend maybe 1 or 2 minutes or more on one clear example of what we did with one of our clients?
Yeah, so I think maybe I'll take the angle around kind of the measurement inertia, right? So recently for a global insurance provider, we looked at how we would reduce kind of their 30% footprint to IT operations. And what we did was we tried to kind of instill a way of thinking and kind of defining priorities across their technology portfolio. So I think coming back to like the approach we want to lead on, it's very much sort of taking a value chain view when you look at baselining your IT. So for example, we took all of the kind of, we looked at an initiative view from everything from technology sourcing that they were doing with like SaaS providers through to their infrastructure operations, which you've spoke a lot to as well, Niels, on like the user behavior side, through to like development, data management, and then also things like decom, right, and e-waste management. But what was really important here was getting to like a ability to sort of baseline where they're at and where they need to kind of put their strategic initiatives towards. So we did like a spend-based method to basically estimate that software footprint. And we used like the annual IT spend, for example. We clustered that into different categories, which we could then map to different industries. And that enables you to sort of, you know, multiply by your emission factor and then actually see where the, you know, the most priority footprints are. And I think that approach, and we can talk about this in sort of an app sense as well, when you're trying to rationalize your software based on that, is kind of where the, you know, the quick wins are. So for us, it was identifying those targets, evaluating like the specific improvements within each part of the value chain, and then actually test and validating with what we talked about, like best in class architecture principles are often applied in these contexts, right? I think that's another promising thing is, you know, good architecture is normally, you know, green architecture or green software, however you want to look at it. And then we kind of set up a way of continuously improving on that kind of pipeline of priorities, where to kind of improve across the tech stack, and then how to measure the uplift, which we used sort of like a simulation-based approach. I want to say like it was like a simulation dashboard that could actually look at some of the levers you're pulling and the improvements you're making in the software, and then look at actually the uplift. And I know you did a similar case as well. You led a similar case in aerospace and defense, which I think reused some of that as well, which maybe you can share as well, Niels.
Yeah, happy to share a little bit of this example. But first, I just want to go back to what you mentioned. So green architecture is good architecture. And I have this motto too, like green code is good code.
Yeah.
And I think that summarizes all why I'm passionate by these topics. Let's be frank, because again, I love good code. I love good engineering. And by doing that, you can be proud of what you are doing from an engineering point of view. And if you do that implicitly without more effort, you will be greener. If you improve the performance of your code, of your system, etc. So it's all beneficial. Honestly, you can enjoy to make it happen. And that's something very interesting, I would say, for any people interested. You don't need to be deeply involved with all this green transformation. You just need to be passionate by what we want to do as engineers. Well, that was a small like message on top of it, but it's really what guided me personally. But to go back to what you mentioned, so yeah, it's a case we did with one client around the world. Because yeah, you mentioned the industry, so of course I cannot be very precise with what we did. But it's more the learning we got from this type of case. To summarize, we were approached not at all by the engineering team and stuff like that, but by the top level, the C-level of our clients.
Yeah.
They are providing, I would say, large piece of hardware in the transport industry and this type of stuff. And their own clients are asking them, starting to ask them, but what is the footprint carbon of your product? Of course, from an industrial good perspective, we need to build it, it's physical goods. But now, we are more than aware we have digital everywhere. So if you buy a car or whatever, you start to have digital everywhere. And specifically in our industry, we know stuff evolve quickly. Potentially you need to replace various pieces, parts, etc. Or just the software. You need to upgrade it over the air, etc., etc. All that has a carbon cost. If you want to dispatch an upgrade over the air in all your stuff around the world, that's have a huge impact. So their own clients were interested to know that. And why? First, because of course it's good, but because they need to put that as part of the competition. So if you need to buy from one provider, let's say a car, but it's just one example, of course, you need to take that in account because at one point we know the regulations, the tax, etc. Yeah. are moving forward and will evolve to take that in account. So they need to prepare, they need to think ahead 10 years and more in the future. So for that, our client was requesting us to brainstorm about it. Okay, we are providing solution, digital solution for our physical goods. Till now, we never took the time to think about it. For us, it was not at all in our radar. We don't care. We put the software in the hardware, we deliver it, and here we go. Now, our clients tell us if we don't take that in account, if we don't try to improve in this area, we will lose the market. So, of course, you have the monetary pressure. We want to improve in that, and we work in collaboration with this company in various stuff around the world. And we did a few different parts of the project. The most interesting one was the simulation engine. So we can mention digital twin to reuse, of course, the nice buzzword, but that's what we did. We tried to replicate all the products they are creating with all the digital part of it, and we run so many different simulations to find the best use case. And I would say we discover the most obvious one, you should shut down the hardware during the night. Yeah, okay. Let's not mention that. It's obvious. Still, please, we should do that more often. To the other one, for example, do we need to keep all the features on all the time? Let's take an example. I don't know. You have a camera filming in 4K all the time and you are running a lot of stuff on GPUs for computer vision, whatever the business case. We are doing that. The industry is doing that all the time. Do you really need to analyze every frame, every second, all the time, when fundamentally you are monitoring, I don't know, a parking of a supermarket? Close it during the night. Still, whatever reason behind that, we are still running all the computer vision every night without any card to analyze. It's stupid. It's simple. It's not a software issue. I would say just a brainstorming discussion we should have, or the client or whoever should have at one point. But we finally realize by again monitoring the system, we can extract this type of pattern. Okay, the consumption of the GPUs are always the same, 7 days, 40 hours, continuously. And directly, it was, but why? The business case, when we generate the value, is only during the day, the working hour. So let's shut down this bad type of system. So again, simple ideas can have huge impacts. Again, when we work with large corporations who are running stuff, hardware, software, digital services all the time around the world. So it's one example of what we did. What is very important is, of course, it was motivated by the engineers. They wanted to improve, to lower the impact of their solution on the world. But in one way, it was the first time, from my point of view, at least personally, when it was requested by the business stakeholder at the top of the company. Yeah. So it's where I realized the business is changing. Till now, in all the companies, engineers and other people are more and more interested by their impacts personally on of their company on the world. And that's good, of course, everything starting from that. But now again, the world is changing. Companies by themselves start to evolve because they need, and because I would say the critical mass of their own employees, our clients, are pushing to this direction. So yeah. What can we do as engineers? We can do a lot of stuff, not only by coding in a better way, green code is good code, but by just taking that in account in the experience / usage we are doing of all these digital services around the world.
Absolutely. And I think what you're saying is really resonated with me on like the product management side, right? I mean, if we think about the digital products and services we build as well, typically the way, you know, you prioritize use cases in that context, you do something called DVF, which if you haven't heard of is like desirability, viability, feasibility. And we've got some teams internally that are trying to challenge that and sort of come up with the SDVF framework, where sustainability is on a par with user desirability, business viability, and technical feasibility, which I think your example there, it really speaks to, right, why that might also help engage, you know, bottom up, top down. So it's interesting to reflect on how that can sort of drive something closer to, you know, sustainability being like a key KPI in some of this. Just as we're talking as well, I'm always interested in the conversation around sort of, you know, the cloud paradox as well. Of a lot of clients still obviously have a kind of a hybrid setup where they're on-prem and, you know, some are still migrating to the cloud. It's also interesting to think about how that obviously can be a bottleneck in some of your like high server density requirements, right? Obviously, we know that managed services tend to be more efficient because the cloud, you know, the big hyperscalers are doing a lot on their side. But I think where they're coming unstuck is it's not always like full transparency, right? Particularly when we look at things like a lot of the cloud providers have, you know, the calculation indexes, which they can share, and we've integrated into a lot of the estimates that we've done. Though not always at the hour by hour rate are you getting that 100% renewable. So there is nuance there, which we're both aware of. But also it's how can you, you know, estimate what your on-prem mix is as well with that utilization factor. So I'm just curious to pick your thoughts of like, when we're trying to obviously expedite, you know, green architecture, a lot of it is, you know, through public cloud, but our clients are quite far off sometimes moving into that mode, which can be a bottleneck.
It's always very difficult. And of course, that's why we are working with each client based on the use case. But yeah. I think that the key, the very simple formula we try to apply, I think it's to measure the impact of the use case. Whatever the industry, whatever the technology, whatever. Again, like in software engineering, it's worthless to try to improve too quickly. You will just generate probably technical debt on whatever. You're willing to be able to size, I would say, the value you can generate from that. If it's a small use case, you have 10 users per month because it's not a critical report or a very limited surface area reports. I will be honest, who cares? And we don't have time for that. At one point, we need to find bigger stuff. And again, if you talk, for example, with B2C action, it's changing potentially the size of it. The small improvement of one cycle of CPU, if you target millions of users, can have a so big impact compared to that. So I don't have a perfect answer, but what I try to do, it's again to use all the good practices we have in the engineering mindset to think about that, to try to size a little bit the different bucket of improvements, and to take them one by one, order by the biggest one first, of course. And by the way, just to mention it again, because in the Green Software Foundation, we are working in this direction. We are cataloging all the green pattern. What we call by that is basically, in this type of situation, the favorite way, the best way probably to operate this type of system is by using X, Y, Z combined in this order. Yeah. So it's again, it's not a silver bullet. I don't believe that. You know it. But by leveraging our experience already in application with other KPI like costs, if we talk about the cloud, FinOps, in one way closely related to carbon ops. I don't know if that's an official keyword.
Maybe we should use carbon ops for what
we're doing. But all that is closely related. So again, by our action as engineers, as architects, as designer and user experience, as you mentioned, we can improve the situation. And again, we are more than motivated to do it. And now all the big corporations are moving to our direction. So I'm very positive about the future.
That's very good to hear, yeah. And I think that's a good articulation as well of some of the patterns, like obviously the green software is kind of leading in the ecosystem. But just reflecting, I think a huge part of it is actually quite similar to like when we look at tech for sustainability use cases in general, like the ability to have that kind of performance management and observability, right, is critical. And I think even more so in the engineering space is having those monitoring tools for developers just in the workflows. So I'm excited for what we're doing in this space and how we're bringing that in-house as well. We started scratching on the surface of like the CSO versus CTO kind of partnership when it comes to these issues. And a lot of the kind of advice in the community is that, you know, best practice would be to have sustainability aligned with your service level agreements, right? In your like best in class architecture principles. But I'm interested to see and pick your brains on, Like, how do you see this going forward? Is this going to be like sustainability is going to be a key KPI? And how do we at the kind of C level as well start kind of making the right inroads to getting a more a rounded view of, you know, tech in sustainability in general, both green software and the opportunity for digital?
So I wish, of course, to be able to have this type of KPI at the same level as other in the SLAs, etc. Is that in the near future? I doubt, for a lot of reasons, but I think it's okay. Every time you work with SLAs, you expose public SLAs to your client, and you need to have the internal SLAs, the SLOs, etc. You manage with your team. That's part of what we're trying to do in the internal project or with our clients. So it's not like no binary. At one point, you can take that in account and just, again, take that in account in the reflection. Do we need to improve or do we need to do these new features? Let's again size it first. So we are always going back to that. In the long run, I really believe at one point that will be more and more integrated. Again, because of the world evolve. First, we have no choice. I think now everyone starts to be aware of that. At least I hope. And because again, the world slash the financial world evolve. So the governments, the finance institutions, etc. are moving on that. And as we are seriously taking into account some of the KPI, like again, cybersecurity, what was not always a priority, let's be honest, for a lot of people till recently, we needed to have accidents with leakage, etc. For, I would say, people not directly involved with cybersecurity to be interested by that. Because now they know, for example, GDPR in Europe, if you have a data leak, a major data leak, you will have penalties, you will be in front of the public, you will need to explain everything. So I sort of call that the shame effects, but it's working. So if we succeed to push, I would say, the subsidiarity at the same level, hopefully we will improve. And again, it's a good cycle because engineers and everyone, I would say, in the companies want to push for better security and to be more sustainable. So now everyone will work in the same direction.
I share in your optimism and also size of the challenge. It's something we're going to enjoy in the years to come, I'm sure, pushing this one into the norm. Okay, so call to action. I think maybe there's something to say around building more affiliation with the Green Software Foundation going forward. That's something we're trying to do. But Niels, I know you're sort of helping steer that in the ecosystem. So what would you recommend that, you know, everything from small startups to big corp to engineering community do in this space?
Yeah, I think what I try to share during all this discussion was, of course, the decisions as action need to come from the top.
Yeah.
And people are moving to that. But in one way, cannot be only from the top, cannot be only from the bottom of the companies, what I mean by the mass, the critical mass of the employees. Still, we are a powerful force, and we need to take that in account. So the first move, as I said, was please explore what are we doing with the Green Software Foundation or any other movement going to the right direction. Let's be open on that. And for example, to pass the training. So we will share the links, the Linux Foundation training, two hours, to have a very clear understanding of what do we mean by carbon accounting applied to green software. And again, few easy decisions to take that in account in all your future projects. You don't need to have a PhD in green whatever, etc. You just need to apply a few concepts and hopefully we will all improve if we all work together along the current situation.
Yeah, and just on that note, we've had a lot of our designers and product managers in the BCG community express interest in the certification. So it really does speak to anyone in kind of the digital community. And I think that's key, is it's not just for engineers. It's actually good to have aptitude and sensitivity to this for the future of digital products as well.
Exactly. And at BCG, in all the doers, the engineers, the designers, whoever, I would say people involved with digital, we are pushing this training, for example, and we hope the goal would be, of course, to have 100 people certified by the Linux Foundation in this area. And we truly believe any companies can do it. So as a company or as an individual, please, again, pass this training, share it on LinkedIn, etc. Communicate around that. And believe me, the situation will improve by small action a little bit everywhere.
I agree. Pleasure talking to you, Niels. I always learn something when we have these conversations, so thank you for your time. And there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm optimistic that we can make a real impact.
Yeah, we can see it's never too late, so let's start right now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.